a blind woman riding a bike? It's possible. Overcoming like a champ and taking control of your health and slowing the aging process. All on this episode of the Get It Together Girl podcast. Fun, feisty, and fabulous. Just like you. Get It Together Girl is the podcast that helps women in their fabulous 40s and feisty 50s live their best lives now. You've got dreams. It's time to fulfill them. You've got a purpose. It's time to realize it. You have desires. Well, it's time to satisfy them. This is your time to shine and shine bright. It's your time to get it together, girl. It is time to get it together, girl, because that's the name of the show. And, you know, so let's go ahead and get started. As I've discussed before, I lost my mother to complications of diabetes. I was 15, she was 44. But what I normally don't talk about is that diabetes robbed her of her eyesight, and she spent the last year of her life completely blind. So I have a true appreciation for being blessed with all of your senses, because it really is a blessing to see a beautiful sunset, to hear music you love, touch and feel the sensation of someone's skin, to smell cookies baking, and then taste them when they're done. Yet many of us take these things for granted, and we become victims of our circumstances. We become almost addicted to saying, no, that's okay, and pushing off the things we want, feeling that we'll have time to do it later, or just not letting ourselves fulfill our true potential. Then again, there are people who may be blind, like today's guest, or those who are wheelchair-bound or face another circumstance. But not only do they not let their condition define them, but in many cases, they embrace life with more gusto than others. Catherine has been blind since the age of 2, but there's an amazing video of her riding a bike, which I put in the show description. Her take on life is positive, unstoppable, and infectious. She's also very passionate about living a gluten-free and healthy life. In fact, she's the author of the 14-Day Gluten-Free Guide. And I want to talk to her about all of it. So let's go ahead and get talking. So, Kathy, welcome to Get It Together, Girl.
Oh, thank you, Karen. Thank you so much. Well, you are also very embracing of life, I can tell. And that was a touching story about your mom. That's wonderful. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, you're welcome. And sometimes, you know, because I'm an amateur photographer, and sometimes as I take pictures, I do it with an appreciation of her and an appreciation of, you know, all that she represented. But when I was researching you, I found a very provocative quote that you said, and I want to talk a little bit about it. You said, we have much more control over how we age than we think. Now, don't think you were talking about Botox injections and plastic surgery. So no. What do you mean by that statement?
Thank you for asking, Karen. Well, I've been reading a couple of different experts. One of them is about exercise, and I'll tell you about that is in a minute. And then the other one is about how epigenetics has opened our eyes to the fact that our attitude and the way we think of ourselves and the way we think of ourselves in terms of our life as a woman and how we can stay ageless in terms of not worrying so much about what our age is. The woman I'm thinking of is Christiane Northrup. She's written a book called Goddesses Never Age, and it's filled with studies and research studies that show how we can literally stay youthful. I mean, we're going to get older, but aging is an option is what she teaches in the book, and she cites other experts who've been able to substantiate that. So in other words, yeah, we're going to maybe get into our 80s and 90s and maybe even become a centenarian, which is going to be one of the largest growing segments of the U.S. population. In fact, it is now. And so healthfully. So, like, nobody wants to be 105 but not able to walk or able to function.
Right.
So it's healthy centenarians. It's healthy aging. So, and then the other person that I really admire, and I've been using her exercise program, it's Miranda Esmond White. She teaches what she calls the eccentrics movement, and a lot of it's therapeutic. It's like Tai Chi. And so what you're doing is you're in a very simple, slow movement to exercise every muscle, every joint in your body, and you're strengthening and stretching each one at the same time. And it's a lot about alignment, and the movements are not like jumping around. I used to be a spin instructor, Karen, so I used
Wow.
to love. I used to love that incredible, I mean, just all out, balls out, just get, you know, completely breathless and all of that stress. Now we're finding, and now this research is showing that you don't necessarily have to, unless you just love it, but you don't have to exercise your cardiovascular system that hard. And I don't miss it anymore. At first I did. And so those are the two people that come to mind right away. There's a lot of information out there about how to really literally take control of your own aging. And let me just also point out what Miranda Esmond White says is, see, people think it's normal to start losing function. Well, you're 50. What do you expect? Your knees are going to go. Your hip joints are going to go. If you don't do anything to your body, it's normal and natural for your body to start deteriorating. But it's only deteriorating if you don't do something about it. And after age 40, what we need to do is start moving our body in a very smart edge, in a way where you're going to exercise every muscle in your body, and you're going to increase circulation, you're going to stretch and strengthen. That's what the eccentric program is all about. She's been on PBS for years. I just found out about her last fall, so I'm way behind the the cue ball there. Yeah. So Karen, it's kind of exciting. It's really exciting to me, because if your body is not healthy, Karen, as you know, then it's hard to really come, you know, show up in a really positive, active, giving way. We want to give to each other. We want to give and enjoy. And, you know, it's hard to do that when you're using a walker or your knees hurt and your back hurts. There is a way to take control of that, Karen. That's exciting.
You know, and I think before we can even get to the exercise and the eating right, we have to change our mindset. Like you were saying, you can't say, well, you know, you're older, of course you're going to gain weight, there's going to be middle age spread, I can't lose weight, my knees are going to go, my hips are going to go. Instead of having that as the expectation and assuming that it's going to happen, we have to reevaluate and change our thought processes.
Yeah, and also find information. Like Christiane Northrup is a big admirer, and so am I, because I found him too, is Dr. Mario Martinez, who points out that, yeah, you know, your mindset, you're absolutely right, Karen, but then you got to move it into the mind-body. So
right.
We go to these workshops, these self-development and, you know, personal growth workshops, And they all say, Karen, well, before, you know, when you leave, you're going to be a different person. But you've got to get it into your heart, into your deep part of your body by certain exercises. And Mario Martinez and the Mind Body Code teaches about that. Because here we're going against culture, Karen. Here's what's fascinating.
Definitely.
So if Karen, if you go home to, if you know, if you have brothers and sisters, but believe me, my brothers and sisters wouldn't be open to this necessarily, but they might if they saw me. See, behavior, what you do is a lot more influential than what you say. So
definitely.
Let's say we start advancing in our age because it's normal. We're going to get older because we're going to live, right? So, but all of a sudden we start becoming more joyful, more peaceful. We start standing up straighter. My gosh, what are you doing? What do you really look like? You're really vibrant these days. What's going on? They're going to start asking you, and you're going to go, wow, let me tell you. And so that's how we can really make a difference in people's lives, for other people that we know. So.
Okay, so we're talking about...
I've had to learn that the hard way, Karen.
I can imagine. You know, people, when we start talking about mindsets, if you're working with people on changing their eating habits or changing their the way they work out, or even if they work out, you encounter a lot of excuses.
Right.
Time, everything else. Why do you think people have so many excuses when it comes to being healthy?
Good question, Karen. Well, I think that maybe at the deepest level, they think this is all they deserve, all they're going to get. It's so sad. Maybe because they see, well, my mom was like this, my father was like this, my great grandparents were like, you know, they look at their family and they go, well, all of us have always been heavy. This is just a family trait. Studies have been done. Studies have been done to show that's the biggest problem with poverty, is that it's learned. It's a learned behavior, and people don't realize that. So you do have the power to overcome it. So what you need to do is get the community support. If you really, really want to change, and you really want to stop eating this horrible standard American diet, Karen, you know what that is, right? Just all the packaged junk, all the fast food, all the stuff that's making everybody sick. Well, then you might need a community. I mean, this is the beautiful thing about social media these days. You can find a Facebook group that would you could find anything that you want for a support. As a matter of fact, at the end of this call, let me forget, we're going to start a 14-day gluten-free challenge on January 29th, which is, you know, this great date because it doesn't happen very often, January. I mean, did I say January? I mean,
February.
Sorry. February 29th, leap year, okay? So don't let me forget. We'll tell people. So that's the best thing, is to get support. If you can't get it from your family, no worries. Get it from friends, go to a gym, go on Facebook, find yourself a group. It is so effective. And then you can fight the habits, Karen, because our habits of believing that we're not worthy, believing that, well, everyone else is heavy in my family or gets sick in my family, everyone has diabetes in my family. Or in other words, like, here's another problem. Well, if I don't eat my mom's, you know, special cookies or her special whatever, she's going to think I'm horrible and she'll feel bad and I'll feel bad and everyone feels bad, okay? So, you know, those kinds of things keep people stuck, and it's such an illusion. It's just, it doesn't have to be that way.
Now, if your mom only cooks that on special occasions, are you okay eating a little bit on that occasion?
It depends on the person. Here's what I've learned. There are some people that are highly, highly susceptible to white flour and sugar. So even on special occasions, if they took a bite or two that triggered them, they have certain brain, they're wired in such a way where it can send them off into a hideous binge. If you know you're that kind of a person, and there are like about a third, maybe one out of three are like that. But, yeah, for you and me, Karen, I mean, once in a while to take a few bites. I used to actually have quite an eating problem way back. So I understand this food addiction problem. But if you feel like you can just enjoy, just wow, every bite that you take is so satisfying. Absolutely, absolutely, you can. You know, the body is, it will heal. I mean, the body will, you know, over time. But here's what the danger is, Karen, is that over time, if there are certain people, if there are people who are eating the typical standard American diet, then their bodies are every day, all day, you know, 24/7, having way too much insulin being stimulated in their body. And that's what causes diabetes, and that's what causes other diseases, even Alzheimer's, and they're finding. And so it's not a good thing to eat typical packaged food. And that's why I recommend mostly eating a gluten-free diet, because we don't want to keep stimulating our body with this, you know, stimulating insulin constantly, which you do when you eat a typical American diet.
Now, I've heard a lot about gluten-free, but not everybody has a negative reaction to wheat. So why be gluten-free?
Well, yeah, if you don't have any symptoms, if you're, you know, you don't have any allergies, you're not overweight, you don't have headaches, you know, you don't have any skin problems. So there's a list of things in our book. There's a quiz. Then certainly, I mean, it's fine. However, I still think that the typical American diet still puts your body in too much of an insulin situation. Let's look at it for a minute, Karen. Most people get up in the morning and they have a bowl of breakfast cereal, which is, wow, just no nutrition in that. I don't care what the box says. See, Karen, here's a quick little thing. If the box has to have health claims on it, I think Michael Pollan said this, beware of a package that is shouting out the health claims on it, because it's probably a big fat lie. So, you know, processed grains and all that sugar, and I don't care what the cereal box says, breakfast cereal is not healthy. So most people eat that with some conventional milk, which is terrible for us. And then you have maybe a toast or a muffin, and then you're hungry 2 hours later. And so then you have some snack that has a grain-based snack of some sort, a donut or whatever. Then you have your lunch, which is a sandwich. Then you have another grain-based snack. And then you eat your dinner, which is bread and pasta. And then you have a dessert. Okay, so as you can see, that's just really too much grain. It's just too much stimulation to the insulin in your body. So that's why I think that at least try it for 14 days and see if you feel better. Because I don't want to be, you know, it's not for every, maybe it's not for everybody. I mean, you have to decide on what diet will work for you. Some people prefer to eat super, you know, high protein, which is another way to eat. But I have just found that for most people, eating less grain, if you want to have your oatmeal, that's gluten-free. If you want to have some rice, I think that the way that our ancestors prepared grains. See, one of the questions that I get all the time is why gluten-free? You know, what has happened over the last, you know, 100 years when, after all, people did eat bread, they made their own bread and stuff like that. Well, Karen, here's what I think what happened is that over the last 100 years, our diets changed drastically. And then we had the antibiotic problem. And then we had the processed food over saturation, where most people don't prepare their own meals at home. They get it out of a package, a frozen dinner, a protein powder, an energy bar. They don't get any real food. So our flora in the gut has changed. It's more bad guys than good guys in there, and so it doesn't process gluten very well. Gluten is very hard to digest, and our ancestors knew that, and that's why they would process wheat and process their flours and soak their rice and do those kinds of things so that the body, once you ate it, once the mother of the family usually prepared the meal, it was ready for digestion. And then, so I think those things have set us up for being a little bit allergic to gluten. So that's why I say try it, you know, go 14 days, see if you feel better. if you don't, then go back to eating a little bit of grain. I still think most people don't benefit from eating the typical American diet. But then you have to have a plan, and that's what we have in our book. You know, we have a way, Karen, for people to substitute. You can't just say, well, then what do I eat after that? So you have to have a plan, okay? So what do you eat instead of a breakfast cereal and a muffin? Well, then you can have a boiled egg or an omelet with some good healthy vegetables, with some good healthy fat. You know, you can fry that in butter, good healthy raw butter, which is better for us than the trans fats that come in most foods. So you can have oatmeal with some good healthy aged Gouda cheese, which gives you the vitamin K2. All this is in our book. I mean, in my website at kathystrand.com. So it's a long answer to your question, but I think that I don't want to say one diet fits all because I don't believe that, but at least it's a way to start. It's a way to get away from the typical pasta, bread, muffins, you know, frozen dinners, packaged food kind of diet that most of us have gotten into and gotten into the habit of eating. Does that make sense, Karen?
That makes good sense. I might have to join you on February 29th
yeah,
to start doing that.
Yeah, the gluten-free challenge. Yeah. 14 days goes by fast. It's only 2 weeks. All the experts say that if you can take 2 weeks to see if how your body does, and if you have the support and if you have the substitutions and if you plan ahead and have good, healthy groceries, I'll tell you what, it'll save money, Karen. My husband and I were just talking about this. You know, it's amazing how you can save money by preparing your own meals at home. If you eat out, to be really careful, make sure you get lots of good vegetables and that you're not, you know, eating the restaurant bread right away. Like I used to do that. You know,
I think everybody does, because you get to the restaurant and you're hungry, and then all of a sudden there's this hot bread on the table. So, yeah.
Right.
Now, you say another thing that I think as a single woman I've done for a while, but you encourage people to cook big and freeze small.
Oh, that's so fun to do. And I have a link I think I gave you. Here's the concept. So, you know, Karen, I love to eat healthy. I do. However, I love the fact that I don't have to cook every day. Why? Because we eat healthfully every single day. However, what I love to do is, so you take one day of the week, maybe twice a week, depending on what you've got going on, and you cook a big pot of soup or a big stew or a, you know, something that you really like that you can parcel out and freeze it so that you can take out a portion that you want to eat, just you and your husband or just you as a single person. And you thaw it out and prepare it. And it is warming it up and maybe having a salad on the side or whatever, some extra, maybe some chicken. So, like, I always have homemade chicken broth in my freezer. I always have chicken, or tonight we're going to have salmon, but that's to add on to our soup that we had that I had prepared a couple days ago. So we warm up some soup. I know soup and fish don't sound very good, but it's so delicious. I've got a vegetable soup with collard greens, and I have cabbage, and I have mushrooms and fresh basil and some other spices and homemade broth and some Italian sausage in it, and it's so delicious. We're not vegetarian, so if you are a vegetarian, then I think in our book we have some good substitutions for that. So then we'll have a really hearty, healthy meal tonight that requires so little cooking. Most of the time, the fish is going to require only a few minutes of cooking, but most of the time, Karen, we have some chicken that we throw into the soup and warm that up. And then that's our meal. And we might have, for a lot of times I love to, after have a snack, my dessert is a few slices of sweet potato, which I just love. These are Japanese yams, actually. It's a Japanese yam that I buy at our local market. And I put a little bit of either butter and cinnamon and stevia and that tastes so good. Or peanut butter, just a little bit of peanut butter. Maybe that doesn't sound good to other people, but so I don't deprive myself. I'm always full. I always have plenty of food in my stomach. I'm not starving to death. And so,
you went into my next question because I would imagine most cakes and cookies and all sorts of yummy things and yummy end of the meal treats have gluten. So does living gluten free mean living dessert free?
No, it doesn't. And in our book, we have some really great ideas for how to prepare a little treat, Karen. And again, if you are that kind of a person that just triggers binges for you, then you know that's something you have to decide if that probably isn't for
right.
you. But for most of us, we're fine. We can have a bite of chocolate. I have a great recipe for it's chocolate frozen banana pops, and you can actually put it on a stick. And what I love about this recipe is that you use coconut oil. And when you put that, when it gets cold, it has a hard coating. It provides like a hard coating on the banana. And coupled with chocolate, it has that sense of, remember those chocolate-covered popsicles we used to eat?
Mm-hmm.
So it's so delicious. And it's healthy, Karen, because the coconut oil is one of the best fats, along with actually butter and other saturated fats. It's very healthy for us. Our cells are made of saturated fat. So you can read your own research on that. But I can send you that link too to the recipe. It's super easy, and your family will love it, especially your kids.
Okay. Now, let's say that we have some listeners who are ready to start making some changes and are interested in starting to consume less gluten. Let's say they're starting out, so they don't want to get rid of necessarily all of it, but they want to start somewhere. What should they do?
I think the first step you can take, and you know what, I'm glad you asked this, Karen, because, you know, nutrition is a journey. You know, I have to say, you know, like 10 years ago, I thought I was eating healthy. I remember when I was in my 30s, I thought, well, if I exercise, that means I can eat anything I want. And not a good idea. So I think a good place to start is to eliminate the packaged food. And I mean, let's say eliminate frozen dinners and decide you're going to cook big, free, small, and make a healthy soup, a healthy pot roast, a good healthy stew. A good healthy salad. I love making salads, Karen, like this. By the way, we're having a heat wave here in February in California. It's like 95 degrees today.
Okay, it's like in the 20s here.
I know,
in the 20s
it's crazy.
Here. I've been freezing all day.
I know,
my feet
I wish you were here with
cold.
Me.
And
I know.
You heard Jake earlier. I got to take him outside after we take.
Oh,
and
he
I'm
needs
not
to go.
Looking forward
poor
to it
baby
at all.
And poor you. Aw. So a salad. We eat that a lot here in California. Here's a tip to making a good salad, Karen. I don't know if you ever thought of this before, but have your greens, but also have some warm items to put on your salad. It's not going to hurt the salad. It's so delicious if you've never tried it. Start off with, you know, all your greens, if you like tomatoes and your greens and your celery and carrots or whatever you want. But then top it off with some sautéed mushrooms or a little bit of warm rice or quinoa. And then put your good, healthy olive oil on it. And it's so satisfying. It's a meal in and of itself. And so you've got your healthy vitamins, your sautéed vegetables, or, you know, you can even do your roasted peppers. Hot roasted peppers would be delicious. So those would be the – so that's one way, is to stop the frozen dinners and just start there. And maybe stop as much of the desserts and the sugars and the stuff like that so that you're not pushing your body all the time. You're not stimulating the insulin. You're not doing all that. By the way, too much of that will also cause aging, and it creates problems in our skin. So that would be my first advice, is to stop the packaged food and all the junk and all the cookies and that kind of stuff if you can.
Okay. Now, we're just about out of time, but I know you have a lot of great things going on. You have the 14-day gluten-free challenge on February 29th, and you also have a downloadable PDF of your book as well. So tell everybody where to find more about you and what you're offering.
Karen, thank you. I will do that. Thank you very much. For your audience, I wanted to give them this Kindle book in a PDF format so you can download it and read it on your computer, or even maybe put it on one of your devices. I'm not sure if it can go on any devices, but it's a PDF format so you can kind of go through it on your computer. So what you're going to do is go to the Gluten Free Girls with an S. .com, theglutenfreegirls.com. So it's a really simple form. Just leave me your email and your name and your email, and then that will be sent to you instantly. And then if you want to join the 14-day challenge, which starts on the last day of this month, the 29th of February, that all you do is just reply to me and just say, hey, I want to join. You know, just something in the subject line, or just reply, and I'll read. I read everything that comes over. So just tell me that you want to join. I'll send an email out to invite people, but good thing to just get started early. And you'll have plenty of time to start planning some changes in the new year. It's never, we can start the new year anytime.
Exactly. It's not just a January thing. You can start it. I know I'm seriously thinking about joining the challenge, and I'll be downloading your book later on this. I need to do something.
Lovely. We would love that. We would be honored, Karen.
The Gluten Free Girls.
Correct. Yeah.
And if anyone's listening, you can check the show description and find that.
Yes. Good job, Karen. Well, that's right.
Well, Kathy, it's been great talking to you. I know we'll be in touch because I'm thinking about going gluten-free. I'm a cook. I cook all the time. I literally cook twice a day sometimes.
Fantastic.
So, it's a matter of cooking. And as you're talking, I'm like, is that chili in the refrigerator gluten-free? I think it is.
Well, sure. If you made it, I'm sure, of course. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's gluten-free. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Okay. And that's what I'll be having for dinner once I need to warm up for walking the darn dog outside.
Well, you warm up, and that sounds a great way to warm up. And because we just had a cold, for us, very cold. Like, we didn't get past, 50 for a long time. For us, I know that sounds nothing, but it was cold for us, so I get you. So.
All right. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for coming by my little show. And I will definitely be in touch as I start my gluten-free journey. So thank you so
much.
You're
awesome. Bye-bye
now.
Thanks, Karen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
In the interview with Kathy, we touched on fear as one of the reasons that people are often reluctant to change. And so I decided to find some quotes about fear. One is by the Irish poet James Stevens. Now, we see quotes all the time online. Some of them are not attributed at all. Some are attributed to the wrong person. And many are attributed correctly, but to someone we've never heard of before. I think that's the case with James Stevens. He said, quote, curiosity will conquer fear even more than bravery will. curiosity will conquer fear even more than bravery will. So since I'd never heard that quote and I'd never heard of James Stevens, I decided to Google him. And according to his Wikipedia page, he was an Irishman who grew up in an orphanage and would have been in the military if it wasn't for his height. He was only 4 feet 10, and friends called him Tiny Tim. So he ended up as a writer, retelling many Irish myths and legends. He wrote several novels and books of poems. He was also friends with the much more noted novelist, James Joyce. This man of small stature, who couldn't pursue his dream of military honor, said that curiosity will conquer fear even more than bravery will. And I think James had something going with that quote, because if you think about it, we often fear what we don't know or understand. But if we approach those things with curiosity instead of fear, our fear dissipates. And it dissipates because when we approach fear with curiosity, we're approaching it with our minds and our hearts open, instead of closing them off through assumptions and prejudice. So I think Tiny Tim was right. It makes sense to approach fear with curiosity. That way we can learn, understand, and appreciate what we don't know instead of being scared of it. D. Strain said, "We have much more control over how we age than we think. We can choose to age healthily and energetically when we exercise and we take control of what we eat. We can also control how we handle our fear by approaching it with curiosity instead of ignorance and prejudice." So that's it for today's show. As always, get ready, get set, and together, we'll get it together. Now you know there's more fun, feisty fabulousness to be had, so head on over to GetItTogetherGirlMedia.com for great blog posts and even more podcast episodes. If you'll sign up for the monthly newsletter, you'll get a free report or ebook designed to help you get it together. So until we meet again, shine bright and refuse to let anyone or anything dim your light.